The Boundless Reservoir. My name is Chris Norris, and here we are on Thursday, January the 30th. Got a little earlier start today, and I'm sure many of you probably have already seen or heard from news sources that there was a plane crash and helicopter collision with up in Virginia. Been kind of watching the news this morning. I guess that's the headlines. And of course, the president has already spoken in regards to all those details. And there's other agencies that are involved that's going on. From the totality of what appears to be before us now and that tragic event, the loss of life, and what I basically kind of, you know, looking at that whole tragedy is the loss of life, you know, the mentality, I'm sure, where there's probably lots of finger pointing and blame. Maybe even people that are already trying to, use their own narrative to accomplish something from the tragic outcome. But, you know, I think we have to be sensitive with instances like this. I mean, these are people's lives that were suddenly ended. And, I'm an advocate for life. I believe that life is precious because God has created it. He gave us life, and He's allowed us to live the life that we have. And, you know, I so often think in my mind when I hear of things like this, of like my own children, you know, each of my kids, I've held them when they were babies, and watched them develop, and just the whole essence of being there to witness life and being born, just the beauty of that. It's not to be taken for granted. And so I guess my biggest thing with this situation is my prayers and thoughts go out to the families that have been impacted by the loss of life. You know, anytime something like this happens, it catches us by surprise. You know, death of course doesn't have an appointment. And it surely doesn't discriminate. I mean, all of us will have that. But in these instances, I think it's a reminder of, again, the brevity of life and how precious life is. It pulls us maybe even to hug our kids a little tighter, call our wife, maybe even send her some flowers, right? They would say the important things of life. Oftentimes, I would say, you know, we spend our life on things that aren't really as important as they appear. The things that, again, we would have aspirations to chase when basically it's right in front of us. So yes, I would say that it's a sad moment today. It's a moment for us to reflect and think about again, these people that are basically, you could, as one of the news anchors said, is, I mean, these families are literally going through hell right now. And that might, you know, that could be up for a lot of debate with what I just stated, but the emotions and the torture of what's going on, heart goes out to these families. I pray for them. I pray that God would heal. I pray that God would speak, and as He so faithfully does, and that these families would see God and His provision in the midst of such tragedy. You know, one of the things too, I guess, I was just kind of thinking back to yesterday. I had an opportunity to do a job where I had envisioned to get. You know, it wouldn't be that difficult of a job. I was thinking that you know, things would go smoothly, and you know, we'd be able to kind of get accomplished what needed to be done, and lo and behold, you know, a couple hours later. You know, it's kind of like in those instances where we have some plan or scheme, and things don't always work out as what we had thought. It is true, our limitations again, and how mankind is hindered from uncertainties, you know, things that we don't always foresee. But in those moments, I think it's a reminder to keep us humble, and not so proud in ourselves or our abilities. So yeah, I just and those are those moments where you just kind of you chuckle to yourself, and you think about how, you know, sometimes you have a way in which things are thinking you're going to go, but then they don't go that route. So anyway, I'm grateful for opportunities that present themselves in those times, and it's a lesson learned, right? A lesson learned. But yeah, I would say too that you know, like I'm rambling now. I promise I'm gonna get on to the main point of God's word. But I was just gonna say this. I noticed yesterday as we were kind of getting ready for bedtime, and I looked over there, and Anna Grace is. She's not the. She's starting to evolve into a younger girl, and she's changing even at 10 years old. Yeah, you just you kind of catch yourself staring, you know, just how your children grow and the time that you have with them is precious as well. So maybe a little bit of a, I don't know, as I was cutting the news on last night and I saw that event with the plane crash and stuff, I guess maybe, and then today, just kind of thinking through some things myself, to be completely transparent with you. Just thinking through some things. And then, you know, when we go into James, the passage that we're picking back up on, James chapter 1, verse 19. It says this, you know, my beloved brethren, but everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness and humility, receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. And how fitting for our life. I can honestly look back and say there were times where you wanted to respond with your words that were sharp as razor blades. Yeah, I think our tongue is like a yellow jacket. It just keeps stinging sometimes. Or at least that's what we would prefer in the moment of retaliation when somebody's either said or done something, or we're angry about something. And so we retaliate, and James is basically saying, you know, to be quick to listen and slow to speak. And you know, so many times I would look back in my life at a younger age when there was lots of ignorance and pride that welled up within that young man, and be reminded of how those moments would come, and I would say things that I shouldn't say. And I think back, even like when Reagan and I were first married, you know, I remember my grandmother talking one time, saying that her and my granddaddy never argued, and I just said, "Grandma, you're telling a fib. We all have argued or raised our voice or said something." I know there may be maybe people out there that maybe haven't done it. That's a blanket statement, and I apologize if I offended you, but I would say that it's hard to consider that you would live with someone that's your spouse and never have gotten into a discussion. We'll call it a discussion, right? And maybe even said some things that probably shouldn't have been said, or retaliated in a way that shouldn't have happened. So yeah, that has occurred. And you know, I think in those moments where you can get to that point to where you let your emotions and things of your pride get in the way, then that of course leads to ultimately it can lead to destruction. But in the moment, I think it can cause a lot of hurt feelings and a lot of things that are misunderstood. And I think that's the reason why the importance of James is basically saying to shut up. Shut up and listen. And listen to God's word. And a lot of people would say, "Well, I don't hear anything." Well, read, you know. It's not the audible sense that we're, I think, so desperately bombarded by. You know, I think it's just the mentality that we have to come to this conclusion again, that when we read Scripture and we think upon what we're looking at, and then the Spirit of God working and moving in the midst of that time, you know, that's the evidence again. I mean, if you go back to what's being stated in James, verse 20, "For the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, and humility, receive the word implanted, which is able to save your soul." So humility, you know, to understand that we don't have all the answers, and that it is okay to maybe just be silent and understand that the one who does have all the answers that we would ever need, right? I mean, just the other day, you know, Anna Grace is going through her spelling homework, and, you know, she asked how to spell or what a word means. And I've always told my kids when they ask that question of how do you spell this or what does this mean, I'll say dictionary. You know, a point of that you made an effort to look and see what that actually means. It means you read it. I know that's sarcasm at its best. But here we are with the instruction book, right? Greater still, the Word of God, for us to read, to learn from, to hush, you know? You ever tell your kids to hush, listen? That's what I was talking with even the other night with Mr. Gunner. The lessons learned from raising children. And you thought you were the one that were teaching them, but you learned so much from raising your kids. And the evidence proves itself again time, over and over, I mean, over and over, through God's word and what he's shared with us. And so, again, it's It's able to save your soul. It's able to save in so many ways. I mean, and however we would just, you know, even marinate upon those truths and take joy in what the Word of God can bring for us and how that produces much better fruit than the deception of trying to prove oneself or trying to be prideful or arrogant or combative or however you would see. And again, we see that in the life of Jesus, you know. What do you say? We're loud and proud, right? Here in America, right? We got our flag and let the eagle soar, right? So here we go, baby. Or like that Braveheart. Yeah, I'm on a rampage now. And so the characteristic that Jesus gives in his life is that he's a humble servant. He's a submissive servant. He listens. It's quite the opposite than be bold and get on social media and, as I've said before, bark, foam at the mouth. God's word is basically leading us to a point of understanding. See that that's not the way God desires for us to function. You know, and I think, again, when we think about situations that we all face, with, and James is going back again, time and time again, I will reference this, of when he says to consider it pure joy, my brethren, when you go through these various trials. Man, there are various trials from day to day, aren't there? And you get here to this passage of verse 19 and following. This you know, my beloved brethren, but everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. Is that not a coincidence that he aligns these passages the way he does? I don't think it's a coincidence. I think it's the work of God and how his word is manifest. If we would just take time to actually read it, right? That's the challenge. But it really shouldn't be. We should be just as quick to pick up the Bible as we are the iPhone and scroll through FaceSpace. Yeah, FaceSpace. And now I'll just say this for those of you who are on social media, and I may get some pushback from this, but to be quite frank, I really don't care. Yeah, I know that's being insensitive, but I have not missed being on social media. I mean, haven't been on there for a while, and actually have conversations with people. Actually listen to people. So my challenge is in the midst of where we are now in our, I guess, educated, technically absorbed self with all the remedies and concoctions that are available to us to gravitate towards, I would continue to encourage you for those various trials. There's various seasons of life. There's times when it can get to where you want to respond because you're frustrated or angry. Think about what James is saying again. For the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. A boundless reservoir. My name is Chris Norris, and I look forward to talking to you again soon.